Hey, everybody, it's Brian. If you've considered getting your master's, it's time to consider Georgetown. Georgetown offers a part-time master's in sports industry management that prepares you to excel in the global sport industry. Ideal for working professionals, the program offers flexible options to take classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both, so you don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. You'll leave the program with the communication, business, and leadership strategies that position you for success. To learn more about this really cool program, you are invited to attend an upcoming webinar on Tuesday, October 29th at noon Eastern Time. Visit scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar to RSVP. One more time, scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar. Book your seat today. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by the Work in Sports Academy. Our four online courses teach you the skills you will not learn in the classroom, but will make the difference on whether you get hired for jobs in the sports industry or not. Learn how to network, build your personal brand, interview for jobs and internships, create a strategy for gaining the experience the industry needs, and a ton more. Make yourself more employable. Check out the Work in Sports Academy classes today, and they are taught by me. So come on. I've got some credibility with you by this point in time. I would hope so, right? You guys think I know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't be here, right? So get in there. WorkinSports.com/academy. All right. Let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey, everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. There's something magical about college sports. Now, I'll be the first to admit, growing up in the Boston area, there is not a huge college sports component. It's all pro sports. I grew up, and the only reason you watch college sports is because Doug Flutie was pretty good in the late 80s. Other than that, not that much. So I always kind of thought, as I grew up as a sports fan, I always thought college sports was kind of the minor leagues to the pros, and therefore less important. In my worldview, the pro game was the pinnacle, and everything else was just a pathway to get there. But really, this was the wrong lens to look through. This perspective changed for me when I was in my late 20s. I traveled to England to watch a few Premier League soccer games. I wanted to experience that type of sports environment. And I saw a game at Arsenal and then another game at Chelsea. And these were experiences I had never had in sports. I had been to all kinds of pro events, and this was different. The fans were different. The stadium experience was different. The vibe was totally different. And I remember returning and going back to work, which is at CNN Sports Illustrated at the time. And I was telling anyone who would listen, oh my gosh, I feel like a different sports fan with different expectations. I'm telling everybody, like, this is different. This is real sports. This is great. This is incredible. The fans, the environment, it's so crazy. And one of my coworkers stopped me and said, well, have you ever been to a game at UGA? Well, no. I mean, I was in Atlanta, so it made sense. They were talking UGA, University of Georgia. And my answer was, no, I haven't. Another was like, have you ever been to a game at Tennessee? And this is when Peyton was huge. So that was like, everybody was talking about him. Then my boss was a Michigan grad, said, dude, what about the Big House? You been? It wasn't until I started experiencing these sports cathedrals that I realized mine was the skewed perspective. That the real passion and enthusiasm and maniacal fandom was in college sports. That booming of 106,000 people chanting so loud your chest felt like it was compressing. That's the magic you want from sports, and that's the magic you get in college. And as my journey has continued, as I've interviewed associate athletic directors from Ohio State and Purdue and Michigan, you realize how much goes into operating a department representing sometimes 30 plus teams, not just one. It's not just football. The effort and coordination it takes to maximize the experience of thousands of student athletes across a department and to draw fans not just to football Saturdays, but to midweek soccer games and water polo and baseball. Or maybe you're a small D2 college, but you're still trying to build this incredible experience for the community. That challenge is real and is exciting and it's really super cool and I'm in awe. And for that reason, I watch and I listen and I learn from those friends I have created in college athletics to better understand their world. A new friend in the mix, this week's guest, Chris Grassi, Penn State Assistant Athletic Director for Marketing. Here's Chris. Hey, Chris, what's happening today?
What's going on, man? Good to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. It's always cool talking to somebody in college athletics because it's a really cool subculture of the sports industry. It's like a unique little segment that I want to talk so much about. And I really appreciate you coming on, too, because your experience in multiple levels of college athletics is really cool. So thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward to diving into this unique industry with you.
Yeah. So before we get into all the sports marketing stuff, because that's really been your niche, and kind of what it's like being at a major university like Penn State, let's go back to your beginning a little bit. Let's go back to your kind of origination story. You've been in college athletics throughout your career, often in marketing. How did you kind of figure out this fit for yourself? How did you know like this was your calling and the direction you wanted to go? How did that happen for you?
Sure. So I grew up in New England and in New Hampshire, and you know, up there, really pro sports is what people think about. No one thinks about college athletics. So I was always a big sports fan growing up. And in high school, my junior year of high school, I took a class in sports marketing, you know, just a regular 3-credit class in high school. We took a couple trips to some local teams and, really did some basic sports marketing learning. But that kind of turned me on to the whole sports marketing world. I was able up in New Hampshire to work for two minor league teams. One of them was a minor league independent baseball team, the Nashville Pride, and the other one was an AHL hockey team, the Manchester Monarchs. Actually, both are now defunct, so that's a sad story about that. But really, kind of got to do a whole bunch of different things as an intern at both of those places, and worked on all different aspects of sports. Fast forward to going to college. At the University of Connecticut, and that's kind of when I first got a feel for college sports and how exciting it was. You know, as a kid, I'd always used to get Sports Illustrated in March, and I was always wondering what March Madness was all about and why that was a big deal. Going to UConn, I really took my first year there as a student and just was one of those super fans. Was at every basketball game, camping out the night before. Really involved as a student, just cheering along and getting involved in that culture. And it caught my eye when I was down there that there's these kids that are working at the games too, and doing, shooting the t-shirts on the court and running the contest and handing out the giveaway items and all that kind of stuff. So after my freshman year, I went and spoke to the folks in the marketing office there and haven't left the industry since. So I've been doing it since 2002, actually, starting as an undergrad and then really kind of just growing in the industry.
Not a bad time for UConn basketball either.
No, we won I think we won 3 women's national championships and 1 men's national championship when I was there. So it was really cool to be a part of that for sure.
Yeah, so I'm a fellow New Englander and I feel the same way. Like growing up, I always was so focused on all the pro teams and never really thought too much about college athletics. And then it's cool how your initial experience at UConn is what kind of drove you that direction. It's interesting to me that everybody I talk to on this podcast has those little moments that kind of help shape them a little bit. And you have to kind of follow that personal lead a little bit, I would guess.
Yeah, for sure. And, the only college sport that I ever went to as a kid was UNH hockey. So, like, that was the only college sport that I was really exposed to. But yeah, that just the experience that I had at UConn as a fan, I knew I wanted to be involved in sports somehow. I went to school for marketing at UConn, and it was just kind of the perfect mix of what I was looking for, and the opportunity presented itself to intern there, and it was such a fulfilling experience there as an undergrad. I'm a sophomore, junior, and senior, getting some really good experience working basketball games, football games, field hockey games, hockey games, soccer games, softball, baseball. Like we did everything there, and it kind of gave me a really good view of kind of what it would take.
So as I do my research and I look at you and I see where you've been and what you've done and all those sort of things so I can come up with my questions, I mean, you're a pretty young guy and yet you've already worked all around the country, University of Connecticut, Naval Academy, Florida State, New Mexico State, Georgetown, and now Penn State. Is this the reality of roles in college athletics that often you have to move around in order to move up? And is that something that everybody out there who's thinking about careers in college athletics needs to be aware of?
So first off, thank you for calling me young. I really appreciate that. I don't get carded at restaurants and bars anymore. So that every once in a while, I appreciate someone calling me young. But to answer your question, you don't have to move around to move up. I think it makes it a lot easier to move up in college athletics if you're flexible. That's one of the things that I preach to young professionals that want to get involved in this industry, is that you need to be flexible. You need to be flexible in where you live. You need to be flexible in what you're looking for in a job description. In the beginning, you need to be flexible with what you're willing to get paid. When you start to limit yourself on where you want to live or what you want to do in sport, when you're looking in sports, it really severely dampens your chance at getting that first job. It's just such a competitive industry. I think when I was going to grad school, there were maybe 3 or 4 or 5 schools with sport management programs. Now there's, I don't know, hundreds of them. And so every year there's thousands of people graduating with this degree. And if you take some opportunities off the table right off the bat, you're at a disadvantage. And so I've always preached being able to be flexible and moving around. I mean, there's no better time to move around in your life than when you're graduating from college and trying to get that first job and that valuable experience. I remember just packing up my Honda Accord and just driving from Maryland down to Florida and then driving over to New Mexico and then driving back to Maryland again. But, you know, and every once in a while there will be some instances where you're able to move up in the place that you're at. So there's a couple of friends that I have in the industry who have been able to kind of do what they, love to do and grow at one university. But, a lot of times it is. We're like coaches. We're moving around a lot trying to find that right place.
Yeah, it's so true. And my experience coming up in the sports media, I did the same thing. I ended up moving to Atlanta, never having been there, from, Boston area down to Atlanta, never having been there for a job, and then went to Seattle, same thing, never had been there before. But I mean, it's just part of the experience. You go where the good opportunities are and you keep your mind open to it. So let's talk about these different roles, because so much of your background is in the marketing side. And yet when you go to different schools, you jump around from, like you said, New Mexico, Georgetown, Florida State. How different are the roles? Are they all somewhat along the same lines, or are the approaches and resources and strategies, are they different when you jump from school to school?
So, yeah, that's a great question. I think if you're staying in the traditional marketing, role, your goals remain the same. I tell people our goal is to get people to come to games and to make sure they enjoy themselves. That's how I kind of dumb
it
down.
It's a good goal, yeah.
For people. But going to different places and experiencing different cultures and different campus sizes and public universities versus private universities and large schools versus small schools, you really do different things. At some places, when you're kind of coming up, you have pretty specific responsibilities, like you're working with this one sport and you're writing the scripts for the games and you're making sure that you've got halftime entertainment booked and you're making sure you're promoting on campus and in the community. As you grow and you start to take on more responsibility, then sometimes it stretches out to you're doing social media stuff, you're helping with digital advertising, you're doing more fan engagement stuff, you're working with sponsors, you're working with fundraising. Usually the smaller the department and the smaller the school that you go to, the more broad-based experience you get. You tend to really focus in a little bit more on things when you get to the bigger places, and there's more resources and staff in place. But really, being able to know a little bit about everything is definitely beneficial as you're looking to grow in the industry.
Yeah, so let's dig into that a little bit more. You are really active and insightful on Twitter. You're actually one of my favorite follows, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show right now. Actually, before we go any further, share your Twitter handle so everybody knows what it is.
Sure. So it's Chris_Grossi. So I'm trying to ditch the underscore at some point, but for now, I haven't got that point yet. But I appreciate the compliment. I try to have fun with the account and really focus it towards young professionals in the industry to kind of showcase the uniqueness of what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what struck me on this is that you shared a tweet a little while back. And you had a graphic listing all the various components of sports marketing. And I thought it was fascinating. You looked at it and you listed 20 different skills ranging from fan engagement and ticket sales to video and fundraising. And it really shows the enormity of the role. Like, marketing is such a broad term. It can mean so many different things depending on what your goals are. So looking for a little bit of guidance here from you. You're the expert in this situation. Young people who want to work in sports marketing, do they try to become a jack of all trades, learning a little bit of all these component skills, or is there a certain thing they need to become a master of and then kind of build out from there? What's your approach? What do you think?
Yeah, great, great question. I think when I was coming up in the industry, it was more of a, you need to kind of know a little bit about everything. That's because the video and social and digital weren't really a thing that many people were doing. Now that we have video production groups and creative services groups and graphic designers and brand managers and publications and advertising departments and email marketing. And there's really a lot of kind of offshoots of marketing now that have kind of taken on their own, it's its own job, basically. So I think as you grow, it's good to get that kind of wide range of knowledge in the beginning. And if marketing and college athletics marketing, like we do, is what you want to do, then you continue to need to grow that wide range of information and knowledge. But if you're more focused on, one of those offshoots like graphic design or video production, digital marketing, I would suggest after you get that, initial broad-based knowledge and experience that you really start to focus on the topic that you want to be part of, because there are more and more jobs that are coming open that are a lot more specifically targeted, like digital advertising, email advertising, social media departments. So as you kind of grow and you do your first couple of internships or your first couple of part-time jobs in kind of a broader based topic, as you kind of figure out what you want to do, you should start to try to specialize in that way. And that I think makes you more marketable. To show that you've done a lot, and then you kind of realize what you want to do and you really focused on it.
Yeah. So with your title as assistant athletic director for marketing, that would sound to me like you are overseeing a lot of those different disciplines within the Penn State Athletic Department. Is that how it kind of breaks down, where you manage a lot of the different people trying to execute on these various tasks and all these various skill set? What is your day to day kind of like? Is that kind of encapsulated a little bit?
Yeah, so it actually depends on the size of the school. So here at Penn State, we're lucky to have strong resources, a lot of great staff and departments here. So we actually have our own social media department, our own creative services department, our own video production department, ticket sales, ticket office, sponsorship, and they each have their own leaders. So I fit into the piece as one of those external group leaders. But our main focus here is the marketing and promotion of our events. And it's working day to day with our designers and our video folks and our ticket office and our group sales folks. But it's, when you get to a bigger school, you're usually a little more specialized in what you're doing. Now, when I was at Georgetown and I was an assistant athletic director there, the the resources weren't as great, obviously, as you would have at Penn State. There was no video production department, no graphic design department, no social media department. That kind of fell on marketing and social media, sports information, and a few others. But you know, you do a lot more, and you're kind of on your own for a lot more when you're at a smaller school. So the title is a little kind of deceiving, because at some schools that same title means you're doing a lot more broad activities than you might when you're at a bigger school with the same title. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. So when you list off these 20 skills and you have all these various things that are comprise marketing, and you've done them all, you've had your hands in them, you've gotten dirty, you've been on the tactical side, you've set the strategy, you've done all those things. You have to have favorites. I mean, this is life. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have. What do you love the most, and what do you put off as far as you can?
So it's funny you ask. I drew up this kind of illustration on this kind of very topic, and it's not so much topics that I try to put off. It's just the stuff that we do that's less exciting than a lot of the stuff we do, and so I call it the marketing mullet. And so the mullet has two parts, the business part and the party part, right? So, the party stuff is the kind of glitz and glamour and, you know, the fun stuff to share on social media and when you can be really creative. So I'm talking about, you know, coming up with theme nights, coming up with giveaway items, working on game atmosphere, fan engagement, social media, you know, creating great content. That's kind of the party end, right? But to be successful in that, you've also got to take care of the business end, and the business end is revenue generation, managing your budgets, analyzing data, selling sponsorships, fundraising, you know, ticket sales, all that kind of stuff. So there are a ton of things that we do within the job. I can't say that I dislike any of them. Some bring me more joy than others, if that makes sense.
You're straddling that line beautifully. I like it. And I love, yeah. I was trying not to laugh too hard with the marketing mullet in the background. I'm like trying to laugh off mic a little bit so I don't interfere with you, but I couldn't quite help myself. That was really cool. Well, there's a perfect example. I was looking through some of your recent, you know, Twitter activity, and I saw you have a pumpkin spice night for the women's soccer teams against Illinois. And that's a super creative idea that you guys come up with. But then you also have to be able to execute those ideas and to make it all come to fruition and track the data to know if it worked or not. Would you emphasize that for people coming up in the industry too, to be able to not only be creative, but be a little bit more than that too, to get that business analysis sense down in place too?
Yeah, exactly. And I got to give credit to one of the staff here, Nick Malizia. He's our assistant director of marketing. He came up with the pumpkin spice night idea, and you know, it's gone really well. It's got some good publicity. I think it's important to be creative, but also be able to, like you said, fulfill and run with stuff. You know, it's one thing to come up with a lot of great ideas. It's another thing to be able to execute them at a high level. And that's really important to us here. We've got a ton of ideas. We do a ton of theme nights, a ton of giveaways. But you've got to get your ducks in a row, and you've got to make sure you're not just doing this because it's let's throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. You got to be strategic, and when you do it, you got to be strategic in the day of the game and the opponent and who you're targeting, and is this a theme based on students, and if it's based on students, is it during a day and a time that students would want to attend the game? You've kind of got to come up with your goals when you are creative and you are trying to do some things that kind of push the envelope, because you don't want to spend all the time coming up with some ideas and then it kind of falls flat. It's definitely important to be able to execute. And you know, I think we look for people who are they're really kind of event managers or event planners, where we're in the office kind of coming up with advertising and marketing, and and ways to get the word out and fun ideas, but then you got to make it happen, and it's staying organized, making sure you've got everything lined up the way you need to, making sure the right people are kept in the loop, analyzing the data afterwards, making sure that you've got some good takeaways when you do stuff. Like it's super important to have, kind of be completely involved in something and not just an ideas person.
Yeah, we always focus on the big teams on campus, football and basketball in particular. But using Penn State as an example, you guys have 31 teams competing in Division I. Throughout your career, not just through the lens of Penn State, but throughout your career in a marketing sense, how do you balance the focus on the big earners that bring in the revenue and bring in the fans and bring in the crowds versus also trying to grow those smaller sports and get them the exposure that they deserve and grow them as well? How do you balance that?
Yeah, so we're in a really good situation here at Penn State because we have an amazing fan base. It's a huge fan base, but they're super supportive of our sports from top to bottom, and from big money makers to non-revenue sports. And so it's tough to talk about what it's like to market a team that doesn't have a huge fan base here. But throughout my career, you've got to look at all the sports the same but different, right? All the sports have student athletes that deserve great support, that are putting a lot on the line, that are competing for university. All the sports have coaching staffs that want the best for their student athletes, that we as marketing people need to work with to make sure they feel like they are appreciated and are getting the attention and the focus that they deserve. But it's also different in the fact that we have a football game and we announce our schedule and we know we're going to have at least, before we do any marketing, we're going to at least 100,000 people there, right? When you get to some of the less prominent sports, you've got to be a little bit more creative. You've got to be out there in the community. You've got to create experiences at those games that'll drive people to them. You're creating unique opportunities with interacting with student athletes, with youth sports. You're creating fun experiences for alums to come back and maybe shoot a layup on the court after the game. You're working with student bodies at your campus to come up with some fun group themes, so they want to come out and dress up for games and wear costumes or whatever, to feel like they're part of the experience. Esports, it's kind of approached a little differently, but in the end, it's we still have the same job. It's to get as many people as we can to the game as possible, and to make sure those fans are having a good time.
I laughed a couple of weeks ago when you shared on Twitter a debate you were having with yourself whether to wear your press pass around your neck or attached to your belt. And I laughed because, those of us who have been in the industry and worn press passes, it's kind of an inside joke. But the cool part is that your responses start going crazy and all these other people that are in sports or especially in college sports start responding with their opinions. And it's the classic kind of social media snowball. But what's cool is you look at that from a more global perspective and you realize that there's this cool community that you're a part of. There's this niche almost, there's subculture of college athletics, and there's people from all around the nation that are empathizing with exactly what you're saying and engaging in that. What is that kind of like to know that you're part of a small community of people who are sharing this experience and able to kind of reflect on that process? Is that kind of cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about social media and LinkedIn and Twitter, and to be able to connect with people professionally that like you said have the same day to day responsibilities as you or work in the same type of atmosphere, that work in sports, that want to work in sports. It's a really great group to kind of interact with, because they all work hard, and they all. Are really good at what they do, and it's just good to kind of share share ideas. I mean, I do a lot of things on Twitter where I'm just, you know, asking for ideas, or I'll DM some people that I know in the business and shoot them some thoughts on an upcoming promotion and get their thoughts on it and their expertise. It's a cool group to be a part of, for sure. And it really helps expand your network. I feel like I could go to any city in this country and you know, say I want to go to a San Jose Sharks game. Well, I feel like I know somebody that knows somebody at the San Jose Sharks because of, yep, you know, how many people I know through Twitter. Like, so it's just kind of a cool feeling to know that you can kind of, you've got people from all different backgrounds that are kind of going through the same thing that you do and want to kind of share those experiences.
Yeah. It's amazing how small the sports industry is. It actually feels like I either know a lot of people or I know someone who knows them. You know, it always feels like you're like one or two degrees of separation away from just about everybody, which does make for a pretty cool experience. One thing, you every home game at Penn State with the football team, it's an event with, you know, 106,000 of your closest friends just showing up to the game. I had Mike Judge on the show who works for the Cleveland Browns, and he was saying, you know, he felt like game day was you're throwing a house party and 100,000 people are showing up or on their way over and you want to make sure they have a good time. I thought that was a really good way of putting it. And I, for you being so closely involved to the fan experience and just getting those people there, you know, drawing that excitement to it. What's that process like for you managing that fan experience and making the events memorable?
Yeah, so, you know, Penn State football in particular, I've been here for about a year now, and I was lucky enough to come into a really good situation here where we had some awesome people who work for the marketing department that have put in a lot of hours to make the atmosphere in Beaver Stadium what it is, and they're really good at what they do. And you know, from my year of being here and observing kind of what it takes, you know, I think there's several things that go into it to create that kind of unrivaled atmosphere that we have. It's really the passion of the fan base. It's getting everybody to come into the game and feel like they're part of a family. We call it our family reunion. We have 7 family reunions a year in Beaver Stadium. And, you know, you get to be with your closest friends and your fellow students and your fellow alums and really kind of experience something together. They've done a really good job in really taking advantage of the hands that were dealt with the situation here. We've got a really big tailgate community. I mean, there's just miles and miles of hills, grass hills that are full of cars tailgating each game. So we've been able to really focus on showcasing that and the fun and the camaraderie that comes from, you know, sharing a tailgate with someone. The in-game stuff, well, once we get into the game, we've got a great relationship with our sponsorship folks, and we're able to take some of those usually boring sponsor reads and do some fun stuff with them to make them more interactive for the fans. We've got a ton of traditions that our band and our cheerleaders and dance team participate in that the fans love, that they come to expect when they come to the games. It's really just kind of everybody operating at a high level to be able to pull something like this off. It really is. It's, you know, once the ball is kicked, we're kind of along for the ride, but there's just so much that goes into it. You know, it's a great thing to be part of. It really is.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I'm thinking I'm only about 4 hours away, so I might have to come out for pumpkin spice night, come get a game in, you know, have a little fun out there. It does sound like a fun experience.
Yeah, it is great. And I mean, we have a game, you know, if we have a game at 7:30, starts 7:30 at night, we'll have people showing up at 8 a.m. I was joking with some people. I had never come to a Penn State football game before I started working here. And my first game that I came here was a 3:30 kick, and I'm driving into work at 7 a.m. and I drive by this Burger King about a mile from the stadium, and there are people tailgating in the Burger King parking lot at 7 a.m. For a 3:30 start. And I'm like, that's when I kind of realized, okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's a different world. Yeah.
But really, I mean, just the traditions that we have in the game and the way we're able to keep the atmosphere up, and it's just unlike anywhere else. I think it's really a special event to come to a football game here.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. I want to finish off with this. You compiled a list of advice for young professionals who want to enter the sports business, and you shared it on Twitter. You sent the call out to all your followers who are working in the industry and said, what's the one piece of advice you'd share? And I'll take what you did and I'll post it on the show notes for this episode as well, because I thought it was a really great list aggregating the advice from, I think it was 27 of your friends and coworkers in the industry. It's great. Really insightful, to the point. Loved it. But one thing that was missing is you didn't contribute to it. You had everybody else's opinions, but you didn't share your own. So spill it. What's your advice? What's your lasting nugget? What's the last piece of advice you want to share with the young professionals out there that are trying to enter the sports biz that you think can make the difference for them?
Sure. So, I kind of left my advice out of there and just took credit for everybody else's.
Good approach.
But, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but it really is about flexibility. There are a lot of jobs available in sports, but there are a ton of people that want those jobs. So you're going to need to be flexible, give yourself a fighting chance to kind of land one of those. You're going to need to, you might have to end up taking a job where it's a place you might not want to live or might not have ever thought of living. You might have to take your first job that's unpaid. You might have to work for less money than you were hoping to. You might have to go to a place for a couple of years to be able to get to that next step. You really kind of have to be flexible in your search, and I tell people there's no better time to be flexible, like I said, than when you're young and when you're trying to enter the business. There are wonderful opportunities all over the country. Like you said before, I ended up in New Mexico. Like, I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be living in New Mexico, but a job came open there, and it was kind of like what I wanted to do, and it was an awesome experience. It was like no place I'd ever been before, but I really got to do some cool stuff down there, be super creative, work in a community that was unlike anything I'd worked before. And to be part of it and to grow. So I always tell people, be flexible, don't get discouraged. I was a runner up, so I was number two for 9 jobs before I got my first full time job. So that means I flew out to the places, I interviewed, and I didn't get the job 9 times.
Wow.
Before I landed my first one. So sometimes it's tough not to get discouraged, but if you work hard at it, you get some good experience, and are patient and are flexible, good things will come your way.
I had an anchor that I worked with once who took all of his rejection letters from when he was starting out and plastered them on one of his walls. And he had 100, 150 or something like that plastered everywhere to be his daily reminder. And that's just the reality of this world. It is competitive, and it's not something you can just give up on. If it matters to you, you're going to persevere through it. So that's some great advice.
Yeah. That summer that I was, nine times, not getting a job, I had applied for, 10, 20, 30 more jobs that I didn't even get a call about. So you're absolutely right. It is a grind. When you get that opportunity, you're going to feel like $1 million and you really got to take advantage of it.
Chris, this was great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing more about your world in college athletics and in sports marketing. I really appreciate it. And I know our fans are going to love this one. So thank you for coming on.
Been a pleasure, man. Good to talk to you.
Thanks to Chris. I can't say enough. He is a great follow on Twitter. Check out @Chris_GROSSE. Pronounced Grossy, but it's GROSSE. And follow him on LinkedIn. Connect with him. Learn more. He does great sharing. He does all kinds of good conversations and sparks thoughts. And I loved it. So many great answers and insight from this interview. I appreciate all of you listening. Please remember to subscribe, share, and review wherever you listen. Thank you for being a part of this entire show and experience. All right. Time to get back to work.